blind. I want to start off with something a little bit more important than what I was going to lead with. I've been kind of trying a new calendar. I'm not asking you guys to follow me. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just bringing this information out so you could think about this, go to the Most High, and then you start whatever journey you want to start off with the information I give you. A brother I had on this show, Brock, told me, I want to say almost a year ago, that our calendar is based on, or our seasons of the calendar is based on America. But if I know to be true that the location of Jerusalem and Yasharel is in South Africa, why wouldn't the calendar emulate the seasons of Africa or South Africa rather than America? If you remember in Kings, when Solomon was telling the Most High, hey, if the children are disobedient and they seek you after repentance and pray towards the land, so it's important that they know where the land is, that their prayers are directed towards South Africa, regardless of where they were sent in captivity, just like we are sent in captivity over here today, we should pray towards the land. So I'm thinking, if we're praying towards the land, shouldn't our feast days, shouldn't our Shabbats, shouldn't our calendar emulate the seasons in our land? And Brock told me this, I want to say almost a year ago. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Maybe I'll think about this more. And the more I was thinking about it, I started understanding that Jordan Davis's calendar isn't completely right. Based on what I've seen and based on what I researched myself. Now, I know a lot of you got attached and got comfortable with his calendar. I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just giving you the information as I see it or as I come across it. I had to seek the Most High myself. I had to be humbled. I went through all the process of being wrong, being shamed, and feeling like I let the Most High down by not finding out the truth. Like, no one wants to be wrong. No one wants to go through the humiliating process of trying to pick up the pieces. I seen already brothers gone back to Saturday Shabbats. I seen it. It doesn't make sense for a Saturday to be the entire Shabbat for the entire year based on the information I've seen. But brothers get scared and run off, and then they don't dig further. They don't research further to try to find. Like it should be like a fire in your stomach. And once you go through 2 days of being upset and pissed off at yourself, that you're like, you know what? I want to find out why I'm wrong. I want to find out what I need to know and what I need to research to find the true calendar of true days. This process, I think, when it comes to the calendar, is the most disheartening, disappointing venture that you will ever go on. But it is how you seek the Most High 10 times after you have found him. And that's scripture. I'm quoting scripture for that. Baruch. So let me start with Yochanan 10:22. It says, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of Hanukkah, and it was winter. Now we think winter being what? Our winter months are what? November, December, January, February. But in South Africa, springtime is September, October, and November. Summer is December, January, February. Autumn is March, April, May. Winter is June, July, and August. So you understand what, you know, the issue here. So our calendar is backwards because we're relating everything in our season. And really, it should be easy for us to translate the calendar to South Africa. It'll work only but for one feast day, which is the Feast of First Fruits. So as those of you who have a backyard or a planting or have fruit trees and all that, it would only throw that feast day off. Because obviously, the time we're gathering is different from the time they gathered in South Africa in the biblical days. But you could just take the fruit off, freeze it, and then when it's time for the, you know, Hanukkah, or I mean not Hanukkah, but when it's time for Feast of First Fruits, you'll be prepared. You just take the frozen fruit out, thaw it out, and then you go from there. But that's the only feast day that really poses a threat or poses a challenge. All the rest of the feast days are easy. So even when it comes to the new year, we have to also think, what was the new year over there? Because the seasons are completely different. This is the walk I'm on. Like I said before, I'm not asking or forcing you to go my way. I'm just bringing out the information so you can understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. Then I was thinking that if the years have to be calculated, that means the months have to be recalculated. That means Shabbats have to continually be calculated. That it just doesn't rest on one day for the rest of the year. It had the months reset the Shabbats. If you go to Acts 20, verse 6 and 7, it says, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of matzah, and came unto them to Tros in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Okay, we know the feast of matzah is what, 14, 15 days? And you add 5 more days onto that. Then he says we aboded 7 days. So we get into the end of the month. So that's around what, 27th to 28th day? That's almost the end of the month where the new moon starts. "And upon the first Shabbat, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Now, why would Paul say, "and upon the first Shabbat," if the Shabbats are supposed to be a stationary day for the rest of the year? Why would he say the first Shabbat? Why he didn't say the 20th Shabbat of the year, the 30th Shabbat of the year after matzah? Why did he say after participating in matzah, why after that, after the couple of days, and you know the new moon is after that day, why would he say, "and upon the first Shabbat"? So we're thinking the first Shabbat of that month. So after the new moon is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and that is the Shabbat. What throws us off, because we already had a calendar with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's kind of what those is throwing us off. But in those days, they didn't have days of the week. So it's easy for them after the new moon to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's the first Shabbat. Then the second Shabbat would be what? The 14th day. The third Shabbat would be the 21st day. But that's what I'm getting from this. And he did it more than once. He did it in 1 Corinthians. "Now concerning the collection for the Kodeshim, as I have given order to the called out assemblies of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first Shabbat, let every one of you lay by him in store, as Elohim has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." He says it again, upon the first Shabbat. As if the calendar is recalculated by after the new moon, that the days are the Shabbats are recalculated, that they just don't start from the beginning of the year and just go on and on a stationary day for the whole year until the days are recalculated. And also with the new moon, that it's not the full moon now. I'm starting to understand that. And now the only reason why we were at fault was because there's so many interpretations and translations that the word has been taken out, where it was full moon, then it was dark new moon. I've seen 2 scriptures where it says dark new moon. But in other scriptures, there was the full moon, where the feast days land on the full moon, which if you really look at it, if the new moon, which for some of these feast days or start at the 14th or the 15th day, that is when the moon is full. So if Passover started after the new moon, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you go all the way to 14, it will end. It will start. The 14th, the 15th day of Passover, it will start with the moon being full. We got it backwards. Somewhere in that calendar is backwards. So that's what I'm dealing with right now. That the years have to be recalculated, the months have to be recalculated, and then the Shabbats have to be recalculated every month. That the month reset. So it's no, regardless of the new moon or regardless of the months changing, it doesn't just stay there. If like right now, I know some of you are on Wednesday and thinking Wednesday carries it all out, but the months reset. So after the month resets, we go counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's the new Shabbat. So I've been testing out this way based on Yahuwah guiding me, not based on man, not based on anything else I've seen on the internet. I'm going through this really through Yah. I told him, I say, I'm not doing anything unless you move me to it. So if you want me to celebrate it, you want me to pay attention to a feast day, you have to tell me what month we're on. And that I had done this, I did this prayer about 2 or 3 times. I even did it with my woman. I even asked the Most High, tell her what number we on. And she did. She goes, we're in the 7th. She's like, the number that comes to my mind is 7. So okay, 7. And this would be the month we're in now, to me, would be 8th, which is the month of Bull. And 9th, because 9 would take us in between July, well, June, July, or July and August. That would be wintertime in South Africa. So I should be on target for Hanukkah to be in the winter, because the wintertime is in a couple of months in South Africa. If I'm a pray towards my land, then I should have my calendar reflect where I'm praying to. If we're preparing for the second Exodus, we are going to learn that calendar anyway in our land. I'm not asking you guys to follow me. I'm just asking you to search your own truth and search through Yah what he puts on your heart to do. He's not going to put this on everybody's heart. But my heart, he has put it on. Because I found through maps the locations of biblical places via Southern African Place Names Dictionary. I found places in scripture that's located in South Africa, like Hebron, Mamre. And they try to cover it up too by saying missionaries or the Roman Catholic Church or a different group of missionaries went down there, set up these missions or churches, and that's what these locations are. And it's all in the 1800s that these locations have been taken over by missionaries. But some places have said that it's originally called Hebron, and then they changed the name to something else. So I know the locations in the mountains that I'm finding is in South Africa. So I know I'm right on that location. So I think the Most High is pushing me. He's all right, you know Jerusalem is in South Africa underneath Namibia. Now you know what land you're praying to. Now I want you to know what feast days happen in that land at this particular time. Our calendar here would be backwards because we're doing everything the American way or the heathenish way. And I'll get into why I said that. So that's where I'm at. Trying to relearn and learn. That's the process. And I know it's heartbreaking. I know No, like I said before, you do not want to disappoint the Most High. I get it. I'm with you on that. But it comes with us not knowing truly who we are, not truly knowing our customs, not knowing what locations our land is, and not having the proper access to the information, because our enemy has locked it up or has persuaded us to think like this is the land over here when it's not. Like we're still breaking our conditioning. So that's what I'm striving to understand. And I'll keep bringing more and more stuff out so you guys can either get comfortable with it or don't. I'm not forcing you to go my way. I'm just telling you because I feel like I owe it to you to tell you what I'm doing, especially when I come across new information. Trust me, I already went through the whole, it's like a bad breakup. It's like you're breaking up with the calendar that we're used to and I'm comfortable with. And you feel like, oh. You feel like you cheated on this person when you didn't want to, and you feel bad, and you don't know how to change it. You just go to the next thing, and that's what we're on. It's all about learning and relearning. And the reason why I said that about the, you know, the heathenish way is I got engaged over the weekend, and I got engaged the American or the Western way. And as soon as I posted, I knew brothers may have would have taken a chunk out of me because I did it the Western way, but I did a whole apology repentance video about it because I felt, okay, let me do it this way because obviously that is not our customs to get down on one knee and all. It wasn't about all putting a woman over top of me. It wasn't like that. It was more or less exalting my woman through this process because this walk has been extremely hard on her. She's losing the connections she's had with friends that she's had all her life. And I wanted to just do something. Like it's hard for in our walk to want to exalt and uplift if we're not knowing the customs and how we should do it righteously or show righteous joy. So this is what I picked the avenue of what I'm best known with, I'm best comfortable with, knowing it was wrong. I didn't research the matter. I didn't research, you know, why we exchange rings. I didn't research why we get out on one knee and how where that custom come from. I didn't even research it because really I didn't care to research it because my heart was set on trying to outdo my past and outdo her past so we can cleave closer together as one flesh. That's why I did it. I wasn't doing it to knowingly to be disobedient to the Most High. And I think he knows that about my heart, that he knew when I went into this, my heart was set on making her know or letting her know that she is exalted in my life. And this is the process I went with it. But I repented for that and moved on. So brothers, as brothers do, writing paragraphs on top of paragraphs in the comment section after I do the repentant video. Mind you, I don't read the comment section sometimes because I know that's where I know where my eyes are going to go. My eyes are going to go to whoever's going to talk the most shit. And it's always one or two brothers out there. They gotta post a book and thinking I'm going to sit there and read that and be like, oh, okay, yeah, you all, after I just did the repentant video. So I didn't even read it. But my woman, she tells me certain things, so I didn't pay attention to it, but that's what it is. The thing is with us, if you're trying to be a teacher, yes, be outwardly apologetic. If you know that you were wrong, post. I'm not above posting a repentance video because it shows our people how we should disagree with each other and how we should be corrected. And said, I've dealt with brothers in this walk when it comes to their information being completely wrong, that they don't accept their fault. They don't accept, even if I bring out scripture, they don't accept it. Instead of saying, hey, I was wrong on this issue, guys, this was right. Instead of doing that, no. They go to other comment sections to try to reestablish their point. I'm not doing that. And I said this before, it's because weak brothers do not know how to stand up or man up when they're wrong. The reason why I repent out in the open because I'm showing other brothers, oh, it's not that difficult to do. We as men, especially Israelite men, should be able to stand 10 toes down and be accountable when we are right and be accountable or be twice as accountable when we are wrong. That's how we build up our nation. That is how we don't have Ahabs in our nation. But brothers get in this, and it's like so scared that if they admit to people that they're wrong, they're going to lose a little bit of following and attention that they had. That's you. If that's what you are concerned with, you are in this walk for the wrong reasons. If you're in there trying to puff up your knowledge or puff up your chest through how many followers you can get by tearing down others or trying to be overly smart in the comment section, you are in this for the wrong reasons. You're not really a man of Yah. Because once Yah puts on you that you should repent for the wrong you've done, and if you like, oh, I'll hide behind this and this, I won't come out and I'll just accept me being wrong and quiet. That ain't the way. We're supposed to be an image and a level and a bar that people should aspire to get to when they're wrong, especially on social media. Especially on social media. How many teachers are out there who are caught being wrong, repent and say, hey, you know what? I was wrong for this information. It ain't many. I mean, I'm not trying to put a medal on my chest either for it, because I don't like being wrong. I don't like posting repentance videos and videos saying I'm wrong, because it does hurt my credibility when I'm wrong. But I am also understanding that this is part of the walk. It makes you double check before you say anything or do anything, because you are accountable for the nation that you are in. It ain't just about being an Israelite. It's about Gentiles too. When you start preaching and teaching the word, you are accountable for your nation. You are beholden to the truth. And that's exactly how men in this walk should act. Writing a whole book in the comment section is, it reminds me of Sirach chapter 2, verse 20. As the climbing up a sandy way is to the feet of the aged, so is a woman full of words to a quiet man. And a lot of you men got female tendencies and female energy and female spirits that you have to overtalk and overexplain something that a quiet man don't have time for. Bro, repent. That's not wrong. That's not our custom. Boom, did it. But to keep bitching and crying and whining because you want attention is not the road I'm about to go down with you. If it would be easier or be helpful, if brothers would be like, okay, this is not the custom, but hey, this is what you should look at. This is what you should do. Here's the information I know. I know brothers didn't hit me with that. Hey, brother, look, this is the books that you should read on this. And this is, you can find more information about how we used to do it. But brothers don't even know how to do it because most brothers are single. And they want to know why. Too much bitch tendencies. But this is what became a blessing to me. Because then I started searching. I was like, okay, what do I really want? Do I want a European wedding or a Western wedding? Or do I want to do a Hebrew wedding? A traditional Hebrew wedding. But I don't know what that is. We're so far removed from our culture, we don't know that custom. So we're like, oh, it's a heathenish practice. Okay, so when you get married, you will have to do a heathenish practice, meaning you would have to go to the courthouse and get a marriage certificate. Adam and Eve didn't have a marriage certificate. Abraham and Sarah didn't get a marriage certificate. Solomon and all his wives didn't get marriage certificates. Then it's a replacing of the last name. You could say that's a heathenish practice. Because in scripture, only thing we know of weddings is in the book of Tobit, where it's a feast for 14 days. And only the symbology of marriage and wedding has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Yahusha and the kingdom returning. There's no hardcore evidence that says, hey, when you meet this woman, this is the process you should do to marry her and all that. We don't even know if Rebecca had a festival with Isaac. But we know the day of Jacob's wedding, he got his woman switched. And all it was that they had sex in the marriage chamber. Boom, that was marriage. And then they had, like it said, they were having a feast at that time. So we don't know. And when you do things for love, yeah, your mind goes into a fleshy place because you want to make everything perfect. You want to have that one day. But I know our culture isn't about lifting ourselves up and participating in vain rituals and stuff like that. And I understand that part. But if you're going to go barking on in the comments, have something to replace it with. Like, hey, bro, I found this. So I did the research myself, and I found a elder or a brother named Dr. Ken, who actually does wedding arrangements for Hebrews. He even is like the officiant of Hebrew weddings. He's done a couple of them, and he's going to do his own Hebrew wedding because he did the Western way too, and he's been married, I think he told me, 20 to 30 years. So he's going to do another one, but he's going to do it a traditional Hebrew way. And he told me these five books that he found. If any of you young couples are wanting to participate in this, one is called Hebrewisms of West Africa from the Nile to the Niger. The second is The Ritual Approach to Hebrew-African Culture Contact. The third is Hebrew Heritage of Our West African Ancestors. Igbos, the Hebrews of West Africa, Ashanti of Ghana, and those are just the ones that he found. He told me that he's researched for nuptials. He even gave me a whole ceremony paper. I think it's called the Ketubah. And he gave me that, how the procession, it's wild. Like, I didn't even know it comes so much with it. Like, I dance around my woman, and she dances around me seven times. Like, this is the stuff I was looking for. But I just couldn't find it, and I had no access to it. So Yah gave me this access. He gave me this information through this brother. So that's what, you know, going through a repentance, this is what you add on to it. So I'm glad that I did it that way, because now I know the correct way to do it. That's how Yah blesses you. He knows your heart and knows you want to do everything for him, and you place him above everything else. So he's going to give you access to the information you're seeking in order to continue to be approved or show yourself approved by him. Now, I was going over the book of Yashua some more, and I was contemplating the whole thing of Babylon and mystery Babylon that we are living in. And it was a story of how, I told the story before, but it was a story about how Abraham went into his father's house and knocked down all 12 of his idols. Now, we know that the Chaldeans and the Chasdeans, the Babylonians, were amazing astrologers. They are where we get our 12 zodiac signs from, which, of course, when it went into Greece and Rome, it changed to, you know, animals and all that, but the Babylonians are the ones that started the 12-month zodiac. And then Abraham went into his father's house and broke them all. And then, of course, his father, Terach, was pissed off at him, and then he went and told Nimrod, like, hey, you know, remember that child that you told me to give to you so you could kill it? Because you heard or you saw a vision in the sky that said that he was going to usurp your authority. Well, I didn't kill him, and he alive. Can you please kill him? Because this is what he did to my idols. And at that time, those 12 idols were a big deal in Babylon. So then they put Abraham in prison. How many days do you think they put him in? They put him in there for 10 days. If you go to Revelation 2:10, what does it say? It says Satan will throw some of us in jail for 10 days. And this is before Babylon has fallen. Babylon has fallen. So you see how these things connect? Now let me go a little bit deeper in you with numerology. If I wanted to, this is how I could easily turn everything into a numerology doctrine. Because Revelation 2:10 is two tens. It's the second time 10 days in prison is mentioned. And it's mentioned in the book of Yasher. I think chapter 11 or 11 through 13 is where this all goes down. I suggest you read it. But in particular, after Terach told Nimrod to do away with Abraham, and after Abraham was in jail for 10 days, he was brought out. And what Terach did, he even started to rat or snitch, or really he lied on his other son. He said, well, his other son did it. His other son fooled you. It wasn't me. I was trying to do what you wanted me to do, but it was your other son, Haran. So Haran was in the same boat as Abraham. Now, the difference between the reason why Haran was killed in the fire and Abraham wasn't is in Yasher 12. Yasher 12, 15, I think through 19. It says, and the king said, who advised you to this? Tell me, do not hide aught from me, and then you shall not die. And Terach was greatly terrified in the king's presence. And he said to the king, it was Haran, my eldest son, who advised me to this. And Haran was in those days that Abraham was born, 32 years old. But Haran did not advise his father to anything, for Terach said this to the king in order to deliver his soul from the king, for he feared greatly. And the king said to Terach, Haran, your son, who advised you to this, shall die through fire with Abram. for the sentence of death is upon him for having rebelled against the king's desire and doing this thing. And Haran at that time felt inclined to follow the ways of Abraham, but he kept it within himself. He desired, or he wanted to follow Yahuwah, really. But he kept it within himself, so he was scared. He was scared to live righteously out loud. And Haran said in his heart, "Behold, now the king has seized Abram on account of these things which Abram did. And it shall come to pass that if Abram prevail over the king, I will follow him. But if the king prevail, I will go after the king." And Terah had spoken this to the king concerning Haran and his son. The king ordered Haran to be seized with Abram, and they brought them both, Abraham and Haran his brother, to cast him into the fire, and all the inhabitants of the land and the king's servants and princes and all women and little ones were there standing that day over them. And the king's servant took Abram and his brother, and they stripped them of all their clothes, excepting their lower garments which were upon them. And they bound their hands and feet with linen cords, and the servants of the king lifted them up and cast them both into the furnace. And Yahuwah loved Abraham, and he had compassion over him. And Yahuwah came down and delivered Abraham from the fire, and he was not burned. But Haran died, and he was burned to ashes, for his heart was not perfect with Yahuwah. So we go back to this whole thing. I know some of us did, that when we get in trouble, we start debating if we should go back to our old ways or keep pressing forward with Yahuwah. I don't know how many times I've done this whole thinking that Haran did, that if Yahuwah saved me out of this, or if Yahuwah changes this person, or he changes this, I will continue following. But if he don't, I'm going back to the world. I know a lot of you on this walk have done that, have tried to test the Most High and trying to help you out of a situation or a problem. And if he didn't do it, you'd be like, all right, I'm going back to my old ways. I'm going back to this person. I'm going back to this vice. And you see what happens here. He has a little bit more compassion for us in these days because we're ignorant to his true ways because we're still searching. But in those days, Yahuwah was cutthroat. If he knew that Haran's heart was double-minded, he allowed him, even though he was lied upon and he was really innocent, he didn't trust fully in the ways of Yahuwah. One, he was scared and he kept it within him that he didn't want to be, he wanted to follow Abram, but he was on the outside. He had one foot in, one foot out. That's a lesson. Then he pondered within himself. And you think the Most High don't understand thoughts and feelings and emotions that you do not say, but you hide in your heart? For the Most High to be like, nah, you getting burned up. Because if you're not going to trust in me fully, there's no point in me saving you. If you're going to be halfway with me, and like he said before, because you're not either hot or cold, what do you do? I'm going to spew you out because you're lukewarm. Haran was lukewarm. So the Most High allowed him to be burned to ashes. And Abram on the other side, because we know Abram is going to be in heaven because Yahusha said so. Yahusha said, Abram, Yitzchak, Isaac, and Jacob are going to be at the gates and yourselves thrust out. They're going to be weeping and gnashing the teeth. So in order to know the entrances of heaven or the entrances of the narrow way, I suggest you know exactly what Abram did that made the Most High love him. One, he hated idols. He hated images of wood. He hated images of stone. So the fact Abram took it upon himself to take an axe or a hatchet and break them in pieces, I know the Most High loves that. So if you guys had a chance to say you walked into your father's office, and you found something that's his idol, that's his image, that's his thing, and you broke it to the ground, you think the Most High wouldn't love you more for that? If you started casting down your family's idols and images, you think he won't reward you for that? I mean, obviously we see here, he let Abram, in his drawers, walk around a hot pan And all the people who tried to come near him to take him out of that, they burned up just being near it. But nothing was singed on Abram, just his bounds. So this is why I think this is what the Most High wanted us to understand about Abram, especially when we look at Revelation 2:10. That once 10 days were up, we're going to be let out and we're going to be righteously covered. Because we weren't like Haran. We didn't say in our hearts, well, if the Most High got me locked up in jail, if he don't get me out on the 10th day, I'm going to serve the beast. But if he saved me, I'm going to ride with him. I think this is important for us when we get to that particular part in scripture. That we either got to be ride or dies or not. Now, it says on Yasher 13:4, the reason why or the blessings and promises that he gets for being loyal, for being obedient. It says, and now therefore, if you will hearken to my voice and guard my commandments, my statutes, my Torah, then will I cause your enemies to fall before you, and I will multiply your seed like the stars of heaven, and I will send my blessing upon all the works of your hands, and you shall lack nothing. Only thing Abram did at that time was listen to the Most High, hated idols, hated the images of wood and stone, hated religions, and he acted righteously upon that. And he did the most toughest thing was to his own household. He started with his father. So now Haran is dead, and I think Abram was aged at that time. And I think it's beautiful when you start to think about why Abram took in Lot to almost be his son. I think it was like the Most High preparing Abram to receive a son by using Lot, you know, as a warm-up or an introduction to having a son in earlier years, or late in his years, I should say. And you have to think, what are the situations that the Most High has prepared you for that you thought like, this is it, this must be the final blessing? And be like, no, there's another level I want you to reach, but you can't reach that level unless you go through this person or you go through this situation first. So some of you who are aspiring to be parents, you would have to be, you know, you would show some type of parental image to either what, your nieces, your nephews, or just a stranger or a young child. You should look at it, okay, he's preparing you for something. If the situation that come into your life and you feel like maybe this can't be the final destination, this can't be the final blessing, then you should keep pushing forward. But if you are confused and you'd be like, oh, this got to be it because I don't think I'm going to get anything else. No, the Most High is showing you once you outgrow a certain situation, then you're ready for your blessing. And I think with Lot, we know that Lot was hard to handle because Lot had all the abundance because Abram had abundance. So when they had the argument with Lot's livestock going into other people's fields near Egypt or near Mizraim, he's like, look what you're doing to me. You got me at war with these people because your livestock is going into everybody else's lands but your own. So I want you to do this. Come with me and da-da-da-da, and you go over here. So really, Abram treated Lot like a son. He instructed him like a son. He probably kept raising him like a son until he went into Sodom and Gomorrah. But that was the Most High preparing Abram to receive his son. Some of us weren't ready to be, you know what I mean? Some of us weren't ready to be compassionate or show empathy or anything if we didn't have levels in our lives to get us there. Like I know for myself, myself personally, I wouldn't be the type of man I am today or affection I am today if my daughter wasn't born first. My daughter was like kind of like that first stepping stone and for me to calm down and to remove that, you know, the stone out of my heart. When I went into so many different relationships, I thought, okay, this must be it. But I felt it wasn't it. When I, the last relationship I was in, I felt like, okay, if this is it, I'll do it because the Most High wanted to do it. But I didn't feel like this was my, the boss level. But I needed that level to outgrow this person and to get the blessing that I got right now. If I jumped over that stone, if I jumped over that step in my last relationship and it's never had it, I would tear this relationship I'm in all up. I would tear it up. I know I would tear it up because I still had too much anger. I had too much force, too much harshness and hardness in my approach to situations. So going through having a daughter for, she's 13, about to be 14, having a daughter at that, you know, the age that I had her, and then going through these relationships and finally leveling up to the blessing that I got now, that's all the Most High's work. That's all the Most High is doing. That's how amazing He is. I know some of you go through these trials and tribulations, you think it'll never work for you. But this is all preparing you for the next step in your life. If you keep your eyes on Him, if you go through the necessary challenges, at the end of the day, you're going to win. But you don't be like Haran. You don't say, oh, you know, I'm going to give up. Or if the Most High ain't going to take me out of this, I'm going backwards. Like it says, like a dog returning to his vomit. That always stuck in my mind. So either you wanted to be, if you want to be a great husband, you're going to go through challenges to prepare you for that level. If you are in a relationship and if it's not working out for you or you don't know if it's going to work, if you continue to be persistent and trust in the Most High, if it's His desire for you, He will bring in somebody else and that's going to be your boss level. Because there's some things that you need to be taught in your previous relationship or your previous situation that you have not learned yet to help mold you so you don't destroy your blessing. That's how I understand this walk. So especially when it comes to the calendar, I know we want to praise and exalt the Most High the right way, and we want to be right all the time, but it's not, this walk is not like that. This not walk is not made for us to be perfect. We are always going to fall short. But we have to persevere when we are receiving new information and new ways. Now, we went through calendars because what? We needed to know that there was actually a calendar of the Most High. Some of us didn't even know there was a calendar. So we jumped on any calendar. We jumped on Judaism as it being the right calendar. And then we found, you know what? Why are we following them? Then we went searching. So we had to keep leveling up. Every time we level up the calendar, every time we level up in this walk, we know we're slowly approaching boss level. But it's only when we had the desire to want to change, the desire to want to seek and search. If we found the right calendar right out front, we would be too haughty and high-minded. We would be at ease. The whole point is to continue to go back in the scripture. If we got it right the first time, we wouldn't continue to go back in scripture to refine things and to relearn. That's what's the beauty of it too. Even if it's heartbreaking, we still get to continue to keep searching to get to that boss level. And I'm telling you, it must work. It must be the way of the Most High because the blessings are coming. Especially for me in my situation. Man, I literally have no complaints. None. With more understanding that I'm getting the path that we're on, I know that this is how it's supposed to go. That there is no mistakes. That this was done because I, myself, needed to be purged. I, myself, needed to change. And I didn't do it overnight. And He knows my identity, my image, or my thinking wasn't going to change overnight. That I had to constantly be, I would say, like, as digging a ditch. Like, I have to constantly get the dirt out. because I kept trying to pull stuff on top of me when I got disappointed or when I got disheartened. He was like, nope, we keep going. You're going to keep digging this out. You're going to keep digging this out. Whatever's in your soul, I'm going to keep digging it out. I'm going to keep digging it out. So I love that verse when it says, I've begun a work in you. When I've begun a work in you, I'm going to see it to completion. And you say, I'm going to start this work and it's going to be done in 2 days. I'm going to do this work in you. It's going to be a week and you're good. Nah, he's going to bring it to completion. So you think all the things that we have to recalibrate and recalculate, it starts with us too. It don't just start with the calendar. It starts with us. So that's where I'm at right now when it comes to the calendar. And that's where I'm at in my life. And I just hope you guys can understand it in your lives. That whatever you're going through, the blessing's coming. The boss level is coming. But you got to be prepared for it. You can't backslide. You can't be like Haran. I think Abram is a perfect example of why the Most High loved him so much. Did Abram do everything right? Like, even he jumped the gun when he wanted a son so bad, and his wife wanted him to have a son so bad. So he's like, here, take Hagar. And then what happened if you read Jubilees and Yasher? Ishmael damn near wanted to kill Isaac. And she's like, no, you got to send those two away from here. That's what happened with Sarah. When she tried to jump the gun and didn't wait on the Most High. She ended up with a thorn in her side. She ended up being her handmaid ended up being an annoyance to her, to her Ruach, because she wasn't patient. And Abram wasn't patient either. He's like, all right, cool. I want a son too. So I'll see y'all next week.